Welcome to Mystery Bible. My name is Ken Promise. I am your host. We've been looking at Exodus. The last couple of podcasts, we looked at a few things that I think is very important in the realm of Christianity and dealing with Jesus Christ and the Word and the Law and all of these different things that we hear about in out there in the world. Because I know many of the pastors today don't spend time and really educate the people as to Jesus's relationship to the world and the Word of God and the Ten Commandments and all of these things. They don't understand. And because they don't understand, they have certain types of arguments that are out there within the church when it comes to when Jesus says certain things that people get upset about. I am the way, the truth, and the life is one of those things. And you'll hear people come and say, well, there are many ways to God. That's not so. There is not. Because God stated how to get to Him. Now, if I am God, and I want, people to get to me, I'm going to tell them how to get to me. I'm going to tell them that actually the fastest way to get to me, because I want them to get to me, right? So, it would be cruel of God to not tell us how to get to Him, and actually be, if this is a father, right? And the Bible teaches us that God is a father figure. If this is a father figure and He negates to do that, to give that information to His children, what type of father would you consider that individual to be? And so we have these arguments that religion, because they want to exist, right? They want to control men, they want to control women, and keep them on their side. And so they will come up with these arguments that there are many ways to get to God. No, there is not. There is only one way. And He was the one that instituted that. And so we're going to look at that from God's perspective, if you will, because we can't look at it from man's perspective. We look at it from man's perspective. We can argue all day long. I can come up with all kinds of crazy stuff, but that's just fact. And those facts can be crazy. But the truth exists, and the truth is Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other name given to mankind under this place called under heaven, whereby man shall be saved. So every other religion, every other, as they say, you can get to God through many, no, he said no. If God says no, then what are you talking about? Why are you wasting your time arguing with people? Because He said no. He set up the way. He was the one that made us. We were the ones that turned our backs on Him. He is the one now is going to institute the way by which we can get back to Him. And then we're going to turn to Him and tell Him, no, I'm going to come back how I want to come back. You're out of your mind. You're just nuts. So let's take a look at the Word of God. This is His language to us. We were told that. And so we looked in the purpose of Jesus, the purpose of the law, and we saw that Jesus made a statement, right? That He didn't come to destroy it. In fact, He came to fulfill it. Matthew 5, verses 17 to 20. Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And so we have to go back to the original sin, the separation. It was disobedience that caused the separation between God and His man, Adam. Adam was disobedient to the Word of God. God said, don't do this, and he disobeyed God. He listened to an outside entity that brought some additional information to make him question, make his woman question what God had said. And Adam went willfully. There's a difference. So Eve was deceived, but Adam went willfully and disobeyed God's word. When he did that, it severed, a condition was introduced into the world. And that condition was labeled sin. Sin is the separation, the disconnection from the Creator. That sin, that disobedience, willful disobedience cause a rupture in that relationship and severed it for, you know. And God said, I need to come back because I love my creation so much, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world, right? I love my creation so much that I need to put together, when the Bible tells us that he had actually put together this plan before, this contingency plan, before the foundation of the earth, because it tells us that Jesus Christ died before the foundation of the world. And then we are kind of like working backwards, aren't we? But anyway, let's do this thing, and so we could see. So now we can't be the instrument that was disobedient to God is now going to tell him how we want to do it. I mean, the gall, you know, that you us people have. But again, that's religion trying to keep you from getting to God. Anything that is outside of the way is what Jesus and what God had set up, the kingdom of God. And so this kingdom is a serious place, and you can only get there so by faith. So when God's intention, his original intention, was when he created his man Adam, was that Adam would live by faith. It tells us that God would come in the cool of the day, and they would sit down and chat, and God would tell him about himself, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind. So they were having this relationship, right? And he was getting to know who he was. Because you remember that God brought all the animals and everybody to him, and whatever he named it, Adam, he being the Adam, God was okay with it. Why? Because God had given him dominion over this dimension. This was yours. So whatever Adam named, God agreed with it, because the Bible says that they were one, they were connected. They're spiritually connected. And then when sin entered in, this new condition entered in, disobedience to God's word entered in, it causes a reaction. That reaction was, he was severed from man, from God, and he began to notice a few things about himself. Shame kicked in. He noticed he was naked, so he started covering up shame. All of these things, these new feelings and stuff, started to show up in his life. He recognized that he was disconnected from God, and God saw this state that he was in, and God had to get him out of that garden, because there was a second tree in there that was very powerful, that can create an a state for an individual. The first tree was the tree of good and knowledge, good and evil, and then the tree of life. And God had to ban him, kick him out of that garden to protect that state, that other tree that causes a certain state, and that tree of life, okay? Because the Bible tells us that God, yeah, Jesus Christ points to the tree of life and all this type of stuff. That tree of life could create another state. So Adam, if he had eaten that fruit in the tree of life in that corrupt state, he would have stayed in that corrupt state, and God couldn't have done anything. So God kicked him out of the garden, separated him from that tree of life, so that God's plan of redemption can be kicked in. So God intended man to live by faith, right? And so what he was coming to do through Jesus Christ was to show us back, point us back to faith, because the scripture says anything outside of faith is sin, is a part of that sinful nature. It was by faith that Adam was believing, trusting God in what he's saying, and being obedient to him. And so God came to do the very same thing. That's it, guys. I don't know why you guys make this thing so religious, if you will. It's not that religious. It's simple. It's God loves his creation. There's an outside force that is jealous of God and who he is and whatever, and he wants to usurp that power. And he got his butt kicked by one of the archangels. He got kicked down. And God now created this being called man, the human, and he gave him the same power and authority that Lucifer wanted. And you remember when Jesus Christ came, and he was taking Jesus Christ all over the thing, he said, all this has been given to me. The Father didn't give it to him. Adam did. And when Adam gave it to him, he became the God of this world. The Bible tells us that. But we were the gods of this world. The Bible tells us that because we were created as God, but we will die as mere men in Psalms. So we know then that this God, this Father, He now has instituted the way by which we are going to come back to Him. And He had created this law to make us aware that we have this sin nature, this part of us that has been separating us from God. And because that sin, because we talked about it, that he didn't come to destroy it, He came to fulfill it, and that we saw that the law was given to point to us, right, to show us that there were some short things in us, there's something wrong, something that is not 100% in us. There's a behavior that needs to be dealt with, and that the behavior can only be dealt with through faith. And so, as we are going back to the original plan of God coming to us and taking care of us, the plan was that this Son of His, according to Romans 8:3-4, for God had done what the law weakened by the flesh. So the law, the instrument by which the law gained power, was our flesh, and that instrument caused us to do all kinds of crazy stuff. So God recognized that no man in that state, in that kind of state, can really get to God, because it tells us that He's holy. So that He has to create a way by which man can get access to Him. And so when you are in any religion outside of the way, you are dirty, man. You're literally dirty in the sense of the sin has made you dirty. And because you're in that sinful state, you cannot get access to God. You can only get access to God through Jesus Christ, by faith. The same original plan that He had set up. For God had done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. So God prepares a way for us. He did it. He found a way by which He can restore all of this. What is that way, God? By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there's a lot packed in there. So this Son of Him came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He had to come in the same way that Adam was. The Bible calls Jesus Christ the last Adam. Adam was without sin when he was born. Okay, when he was given birth by God. He said, let us create man and breathe the life into him, and man became a speaking soul. Now, that same flesh, likeness of that, Jesus came just like that, because He was pregnated by the Holy Spirit, Mary was. So that likeness, He looked like you and I, but in essence, He was just like Adam before he fell. So now we're looking at this man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walking in that likeness of what Adam was, and He began to demonstrate to us how to walk and do it in obedience. Now we know that Jesus Christ was tempted just like Adam was tempted in the garden, but Jesus passed. He was in the wilderness and He tempted Him for 30 days, and He passed that test. Adam failed his test. So when Lucifer saw that Jesus Christ passed the test, he knew something was up, right? And he didn't know the plan was that the purpose of Him coming, Jesus' assignment, was that He would die. He didn't know that. If he had known that, Lucifer would have done everything, incantation, everything, to keep Jesus Christ alive to this day. He would have made sure that he wouldn't do it. Nobody would touch him. And so Jesus Christ would have, but because he didn't understand the plan, he was eager, okay, to kill him, not understanding that in his death was where the victory lied. So now he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus Christ came to do some work. and he came to set you and I free, the Bible tells us. He did this in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in you and I, so that there's a way for you and I to have access to this God who is holy. And because if we are in our sinful nature, we can't get to him, because there's nothing we can do, because everything that we do is from the sinful nature. So that is why the Bible tells us that there's no works that we can do to get to him. For by grace we are saved, not by works. We can't do it, because if we do it, it's still sinful. No matter what we do, by nature and in nature, it is based in sin. But when we come by faith, right, it tells us that we are able to come into the kingdom, and by grace, by God, his divine favor, he this is how he designed it. And by our, because the scripture says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. It is the gift God has presented this way by which you and I can have access to him. So now let's take a look at where Jesus said some things that I know are very upsetting to all you guys. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. This is how we designed it for you to come. Acts 4, 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. There is no other way. There is not 100 million ways to get to God. That is a lie from the devil, and he is lying to you so that he can keep you in that way that you're in, that religion that is all fake and false, because the Bible tells us that there is no work that we can do. Every work that we do, every meditation, every rosary that we do is done in sin. It has nothing of no value to God but sin. And because it has no value to God, we are not going to go anywhere. For there is one God, right? And there is one mediator between this God and men. That is man, is Jesus Christ, Christ the Messiah. So God had put it together because he loved this world so much that he said, whoever believed in my son for the work that we have done on your behalf, that's all you need. You have to, the Bible says, but because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the process of faith. I gave you guys the story of the woman with the issue of blood. If you confess with your mouth that you believe in your heart, remember heard the story? She was seeking help because she was dying, and she spent all her money. She gets broke, and then she heard this Jesus Christ is a healer, and she said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment, because if you confess with your mouth, if I can touch the hem of the garment, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the healer." She confessed it because it says that she believed within herself. And the scripture says here, and believe in your heart. Within yourself is your heart, is your soul, that Jesus Christ is a healer, or in this case, that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Same process. That process, according to Ephesians, for by grace, God's divine influence upon our heart, and by faith, you are saved. That process is a gift that God has provided for you and I so that we can have access back to him. So that's why I say to you, anything outside of Jesus, the way, you know, Jesus got even more specific. He says in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find passage. So you have access to go in and out of the kingdom of God. And, you know, you do what you do because you came through the door. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the law. We recognize through the law that we can't do it. We are weak. We've tried. Many of us have tried until that beautiful man or woman comes into your life. Many of us have done a bunch of things, and we don't do this, we don't do that. But God said, you miss one, you failed in all of them. So you and I, no matter what we do, why? Because the Bible tells us what we do, you know. And let me take you into the scripture and show you something. And I've been telling you guys this a long time about where we are to put the word and stuff like that. The Bible tells us that the word of God is there to save the soul. There's a story where Jesus talks about, committing adultery. And he makes a statement. He says, if you look onto the woman with lust in your heart, let me take you there, Romans chapter 8. We'll go with that. And, Matthew. We'll go and take a look at Matthew. And you'll see what I'm talking about what God says in your heart and where it comes. Okay? So let's go and take a peek at that, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. That sin, Jesus makes a statement, he talks about sin originate in the man inside his inner part of the man. And when it's done there, okay, the body is where we express all of the things that are in the soul of mankind. And that is the piece, because the Bible says we became a speaking soul. That is God's gift to us. The Bible says that when a man dies, his spirit returns to him. But that soul of mankind, he is the one that goes into hell and goes into all of those things, because the man became a speaking soul. And when we sin with that, because it tells us that, I'm trying to find the scripture, I'm trying to remember it actually, when it talks about having the adulterer. But Jesus makes a statement. He says, hey, if you do that within your heart, okay, if you look at her and you lust again with her in your heart, you've already committed adultery. You've already done it. Why? Because you've done it inside of you. You've done it within your soul. And so because you've done it within your soul, the only thing left for you to do is to carry it out with your body. And you will do that. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Yeah, we heard that. Where did we hear that? You see what I'm saying? We've heard that in the law. But watch, there's a piece in that law that we weren't aware of. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He has already broken the law. So even though he hasn't slept with her yet, he has broken the law internally. And that is where God is looking. Because the scripture tells us in Hebrews that the word of God is so powerful that God knows the intent of the heart, or the intent of the man's soul, which it says with lustful intent that is done in the soul of man, he has already committed adultery with her. So even before the act is perpetrated, the adultery is already committed. How many of us have sinned already within our thoughts, our intent? Because that's where God looks at. That is why you cannot get to God without Jesus. It's laid out right there. That intent is in your soul. That's where God has to get you. When the Bible says we are born again, we are of a new creature, we got a new spirit, but that soul is still corrupt. And the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart, or that chamber of a part of the soul, that I may not sin against you. And I've said in the last podcast, our responsibility is put that word in God, of God into our soul, so that we will not commit adultery, that we will not look lustfully. Where? Inside. Inside of our being. Inside of the world calls it the subconscious mind. The Bible calls it the soul of mankind. That's where the sin takes place. And God tells us that, and Jesus tells us, you can't come to the Father except me. I'm the only one. We are the only one that know how to deal with that. Why? Because I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the door. There is no other name on the given unto men, given amongst men, Buddha, Muhammad, none of them. There is no other name given amongst men whereby we're going to be saved. So then there's only one way, right? It's laid out right there. There is no other name. Mary, Rosalie, Beads, whatever you do, Allah, it doesn't matter. You got to know Jesus, right? Yeah. You got to know him, and you got to know him personally, because he's the door. You can't get access to him, to the Father, except you come to this one Jesus Christ, because he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came just like the first Adam to show you and I how to walk as God intended the first Adam to walk, but he sinned. And because of his sin, his disobedience, the world fell apart. And because the world fell apart, everything was lost. But the Bible tells us that there's a way back. Because God put it up that way. That way back was Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, 19 puts it this way. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. We know that one man by the name of Adam. Even so, through the obedience of this one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. For this one man, Adam, through disobedience, caused you and every one of us to be labeled as a sinner. And that condition of sin that we are covered in it, we are it, because Jesus became sin. We, standing outside of Jesus Christ, are sinful. But when we come into Jesus Christ, God does not see the sin, he sees Jesus and what Jesus has done for us, so then we are able to commune with him. We are able to come boldly before the throne of grace, whereby we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We are able to worship God through Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We are able to stand before God the Father, who is holy, and not be wiped out because of our sinful nature. And so, guys, there is no other way. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. That's how the law was weak, through the flesh. Him, that corrupt soul, Jesus said, let me tell you, the flesh was bad, but, you know, if you commit the sin inside your soul, inside, and you didn't carry it out yet, you're done. So when you and I are plotting to do someone's harm, you have already committed the sin. And so we're caught in this trap. So then how in the world can any other religion make you stand clean before God? How is it going to be done? How are we going to do that? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that's the exchange, that faith in Jesus Christ will give you access to God. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. By the works of the law, meaning by keeping this 10 commandments and doing all this wonderful stuff, not a single soul will be justified in his sight. Not a single soul will be just. Not one. I really don't care what you do. You have many ways. It's not me. I'm just reading what it said. And you have a problem, then you need to go talk to the one that put this together. I'm simply bringing it to your attention. And then you have to make up your mind as to how you want to approach that. can't get mad at me because I could make you aware of it. Says, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. You can't get before the throne of grace by your mantras, by anything that you do that you think you're going to get to him. For though the law comes through the law, but through the law comes the knowledge of that condition that I can't be whole. I can't be whole because of this sin, this nature, who we are, because that's what my father became. He became sin, my father meaning Adam. Because it tells us that this man, the first man that did that, all of us became sinners. So my father, Adam, in the flesh, he messed up. And then I, as a result, I'm called, talking about ancestral sin. And there you go. So it says that God sending his own son in the likeness was to take care of this situation. And so guys, I wanted to bring that to you so you can understand, and then we'll move on. Now, there's no other way except the way of Jesus Christ, because he is working in conjunction with the law that God had set up so that he came to fulfill it. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and by the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. I didn't write it. I simply read what I see here. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. No man comes to the Father except through me, because I was the only one that was capable of fulfilling the law. I was the only one who was able to keep it. And because I'm the one that is able to keep it, and I'm the one that is able to be sacrificed in order for you to be able to keep it. So look at me. I showed you how to do it. Trust in me, and I will continue to show you how to do it. And there is no other name, for there is no other name under heaven, under this heaven, given amongst men by which we must be saved. Must be, not we can be. We must be saved only through this name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him, his Son, should have eternal life and not perish. And so you and I have some decisions to make. And so he said, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins, because you and I are sin. Jesus became sin so that you and I don't have to do that. And the scripture says, when we make this exchange because of faith, we then have access to the Father and to do all the things that he has empowered you and I to walk by faith. Because you know, one of the things that he gave his disciples when he was leaving was power and authority. He says, I give thee power over the enemy, over all evil spirits, you know, the Nephilim and their kids and any fallen angels, all of that. We have power over them. We have angels at our side, the same set of angels that kicked his Lucifer's butt. I have access to them, and they will work with me. I have my angels, because the Bible tells us are not all angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those. So you and I have access to them through faith. And so we are restored, if you will, to the original intent through Jesus Christ. But the fulfillment of all of that is going to accumulate and come together in a few years. We know, you guys have heard me said, that the end of the age that Jesus instituted, because the Bible says when he showed up, he instituted the age of grace. And it's only fitting, since he instituted it, that he would be the one that will end it, based on when the Father says it's showtime. And so then the Bible tells us that we have And documentation says 2075 is when we have about 50 years. Again, when we subtract 7 from that, because it tells us that 68 out means that the Antichrist has 7 years before the end of the age. And so he will be fully on the scene 2068, and then he, the peace accord comes with Israel and all his guys, and they have, in the midst of that 3.5 years, he's going to announce that he is God, and then the Bible says that he's going to wreak havoc on this place. So guys, that's who Jesus is. That's who the law is. And so when that Moses came down from the mountain with those laws in his hand, it was all pointing to this man, Jesus, to the Messiah, the individual that will come and fulfill that law, so that he could show us how it's done. And he then prepares a way that you and I now, through faith in what he has done, and through faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work, that we then have access to the same ability to walk like him through faith. For anything outside of faith is sin. And so God has instituted the law to show us that Jesus Christ is the way. And being the way, this is the only way by which men must be saved. Not can be or will be. It is must be saved. This is the only way we have access to the Creator, because he was the one that put the plan in place so that we can have access to him. And so you can't argue with him, because you, through your forefather, was the one that walked away from him through disobedience. And I read that to you. It says that through obedience, this one man, Jesus Christ, kind of put it all back together. And because of his obedience, all of us have access to which we can be restored back to the original intent. And so as we are able to, by faith, be restored, we then have access to God, and whereby we are called the sons of God, and we can make demands on things, his promises that he has given to you and I through the word, through his word. Because remember what Romans 5:19 says, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Every single person on the planet were made or classified as sinners. Even so, through the obedience of this one man, Jesus Christ, the many, okay, those that come believing, come with their faith, the many will be made righteous through Jesus Christ, so that we can have access. And what is righteousness? Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Not until the man began to walk by faith that God said man was righteous. That's what it said here, that through this one man's obedience, a many more were made righteous. And that righteous means that we have right standing with God, and we have access to the Father, and we have access to power, like the woman with the issue of blood, because it tells us that that is the process that God had set up. And I read that to you also, about that process is also seen in salvation. So that's what it is, guys. That's what it is, and that's how it's set up. So I want to thank you guys for walking with me. I wanted to just finish up here, because it's very important that you understand Jesus Christ in conjunction with the law and God's plan in conjunction, because this was the this right here was major stuff, that message that God was giving to mankind to make him aware that he's a sinful creature and that he needs someone else outside of himself. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, and he was the one that redeemed us. And God also tells us that God the Father is the Redeemer. He set up the plan, and they put it in motion, and we were able to gain him as a result of Jesus Christ's obedience. So thank you guys for following me here at Mystery Bible. We are going to continue And we start looking at the priest's assignment, the priest's garments and all that stuff. And that is also is talking about Jesus Christ. Every one of those pieces that we talk about in when we look at the priests and stuff like that, the high priest and all these things, the temple when that comes in, all of that points to Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, hey guys, this whole Bible, this whole thing, if you search the scriptures in it, it testifies of me. It's talking about me. It's pointing you to me. I'm all over from beginning to end. You know, that's what we have to understand, that Jesus Christ is from their beginning. He says, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. So, the Bible is all about him. And because it's all about him, there is no other name given by which man must be saved. You understand what I'm talking about? You must be. You can't. You must be. There is no other way. So thank you again for coming. We're going to continue our journey through the Bible and get to know who we are in Jesus Christ as we walk through. As I said to you guys, the Old Testament is actually tangible stuff there, like examples for us to see that this is a natural people that God picked to show us spiritual truth. That he picks this people out of sin, out of bondage, which he did in your bondage to the kingdom of darkness. He pulls us out through there. We have to come through what is called the Red Sea, that baptism with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are going to walk by faith, for the Bible tells us in Romans, herein is the righteousness of God, that we shall walk by faith, the just shall live by faith. It means that this is how God set it up, that you and I are supposed to walk by faith from one faith project to another faith project. And we saw that a faith project usually is situations that come up in our life that is out of control. And we have to look at Moses and see how he looked at all those situations that came up, and look at the children of Israel, see how they looked at it. They complained, they murmured, they did all that stuff, they backed by, whatever. Moses looked at it as an opportunity for God to show his power. He was walking by faith. And so you and I are called to do the very same thing, from faith to faith. Herein is the righteousness, or the right way by which God has set up the plan for you and I, that we walk by faith, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. Just walk by, just hold hands and love one another, encourage each other, because we only have a few years left. Find your assignment and begin to do it, and trust the Holy Spirit to guide you and to give you all the answers that you need, and God will be your provider. You know, be aware again. The Bible says we ought to be wise, and you know, and put eyes on the prize, as they say. So thank you again for those who follow me. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your support financially. I really appreciate it, and I pray for you guys that God will continue to open your eyes to see who you are in Christ, so that you will fulfill your assignment while you're here on this earth. And I thank you with all respect and honor. Glory to God, and grace be to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See you at the next podcast. Thank you.